today on Real Radio.
A backslider is a person who once walked with God and then is owned by God and then goes back into the world and messes around with the things of the world. That is a backslider. But listen, if you are a backslider tonight, that is, if you've walked away and gone back to the things of the world, it is my compassionate prayer for you that you just get sick to your stomach and throw up all over the place the next time you indulge yourself in that sin.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're looking at chapter 4 now, which conveys a message to you, especially if you've ever thought that you are insignificant in the plans of the Almighty. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation that answers the question, can the Lord use you?
Now listen, I'm going to do a little test right now. Watch this. I want you to respond. Don't be shy. Can the Lord use me?
Yes.
Can the Lord use you?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Then why don't we act like that? Then why don't I act like that? Why do we kind of, as Christians, come out of the gate and kick the can and mope about and grumble, oh God, I see you using so many people. I see you, God, doing this and doing that. Oh God, use me. He wants to use us. And when I look at my Bible and I see men and women that God has used greatly, have you noticed that they pretty often had a pretty poor start? They pointed at anybody else. Oh, God, use them. Didn't Moses point to Aaron and say, use him instead? But God called Moses. But what did Moses do? In his tremendous moment of obedience, he said, use my brother. When Jeremiah is called and God speaks to him, I mean, he hears God speaking. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young to be used by God. Isn't that funny? We are so quick to have an excuse. Listen, tonight, a good friend of ours in the Bible, a great warrior, we need this kind of a heart in us today, and he's going to be noted for his great exploits and victories. Barak is going to be prepared for battle, but he's going to need a little bit of encouragement. He's going to come from a place that is altogether different, but watch what happens. As we look to our study tonight, can God use you? Can God use me? The answer is yes to that. And as we look now first to verses 1 through 7, we see that God can use us. And the Lord has placed you and I, just like these that we'll read about tonight, in this place, in these days, at times like these. Church, mark that down. We just answered that question a moment ago. Can God use me? Can God use us? The answer is yes. And we all agree to that. But here is the thing that we need to remember, that the Lord has placed you and I in this world, in this place, exactly according to His timing. And we'll see how that equates in a moment. Look at verses 1 and 2. We look at it this way. The Lord has placed us in these days, but what if the days are difficult? That's our first challenge. As we see our study tonight, you're going to hear and see about difficult days. Look with me in verses 1 and 2. When Ehud was dead, remember he died last time by getting judged by the Lord? The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Heshroth Hegoim. And as we look to this tonight, we need to remember these things. Every time God calls His people, church, listen, be encouraged. Every time God calls us, He calls us during times of difficulty. You might say, well, Jack, wait a minute. Isn't it true that in every generation God has called people to serve Him? Yes. And in every generation of every month, of every year, of every day, there are times of difficulty. Will you not agree? It is true. The world is warring in its carnality and in its lost condition against the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit is warring against the things of carnality. And you and I as Christians have been brought right into this world, and it's difficult. It is a difficult world, no doubt about it. But the Lord has placed us here. So understand this. In verses 1 and 2, we see this. That the fact of the matter is, now Israel, going through that cycle again, obeys God, is blessed by God, gets fat from the goodness of God, and then begins to forget God. And that is a very, very tragic thing. Church, be encouraged. Are the days difficult? Yes. Are they days when believers are rising up in evil and doing things evil? The answer to that is yes. Believers are backsliding. Somebody asked me the other day, can a backslider be saved? Oh my goodness, listen. You can't be a backslider without being saved. Read your Bible carefully. The lost, they go out and send up a storm. And they don't care about it. They just do it. A backslider is a person who once walked with God and then is owned by God and then goes back into the world and messes around with the things of the world. That is a backslider. And you can't be a backslider unless you know the Lord. It's a very important thing to remember. But listen, if you are a backslider tonight, that is, if you've walked away and gone back to the things of the world, it is my compassionate prayer for you that you just get sick to your stomach and throw up all over the place the next time you indulge yourself in that sin. Because God loves you tonight. Oh, Pastor, I don't know. I stumbled into this place. You didn't stumble into this place. The days are evil. These are difficult times, and you are faced with a decision to either go through that endless cycle of your flesh being in control, then you feeling all sad because of what you've done, and then you kind of hang around church a little bit, and you know that you've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not happy in the world, but you gravitate back, and you go through this cycle almost like Israel, walking with God, then going back into the world, and spending more time walking in the world than walking with God. And you would equate that your life has come to nothing. And the truth is, your life is coming to nothing. It's time to shake off those things and obey the Lord. And Israel would do that thing, obey and then disobey. And unfortunately, every time they would be blessed and be growing and all these things as a nation, they would wind up forgetting God. And it led them to difficult days. But church, even in our difficult days, God is in them. God will hear our cry if we would just cry out to Him. So, listen, He's placed us in these days. Can God use us? Oh, yes. And we cannot, church, we cannot use these days as an excuse. Oh, these are too difficult of days to use me, Lord. I'm not equipped. You are alive right now, Christian, because God has placed you in these days. But will God use me? Oh, yeah. In fact, can I put it this way? If that's the way you're feeling and thinking, will you just obey Him and watch what happens? Because that attitude that you have is very precious in the sight of the Lord. That humility, God, can you even use me? Why do you think God did great exploits with people who were so weak? All of a sudden now I qualify to be used by God. Oh Lord, use me. He always, from cover to cover in the Bible, always shows Himself strong to those who are weak and to those who cannot pull it off themselves, as it were. Look at verse 3. What if I don't have what it takes? Verse 3 teaches us, then the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. That must have freaked them out, scared them to death. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. My little footnote would be, what took them so long to cry out? 20 years under this oppression. And they've got chariots. The bad guys got chariots, 900 of them with iron. See, man, all these things are coming against us. All these evil things are befalling us. It's as though the enemy's got 900 chariots. It looks bleak. It looks terrible. Listen, cry out to the Lord. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Why does it take us in the human heart? Why does it take us to cry out so late in the deal? Why do we not get? And maybe you are this way, where you get used to crying out to the Lord. You say, Jack, am I going to wear my welcome out with the Lord? Never. Keep crying out to the Lord. I love when little kids, you know, when little kids are scared, they will either cry out to mommy or daddy, or they'll just forget that and they'll do the next best thing. Maybe this is the best thing. They run straight to daddy's leg and grab a hold of his pant leg and hang on and sometimes peek out from between his knees. Have you ever seen a little kid do that? You ever seen a little kid wrapped around on the knees of his dad and peeking out? I wonder what that feels like. Do you remember what that feels like? If you do, you've got an amazing memory, because you would have been very little. Can you imagine, though, what it would stand like or feel like to stand between your dad's big, strong knees and you're looking out? Ain't nothing going to get me now. I'm safe. What is it like to pick up a little 1 or 2 year old? You just scoop them up. First of all, do you realize when you pick up a little person like that and you move them up to like this, that's about 6 times their height. That's like an e-ticket ride at Disneyland, man. What does it feel like to be a little guy like that and you're holding him up and then you hold him in your arms and you just cuddle him up? What does it feel like? Can you imagine? That's what God wants us to do regarding our lives. He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to grab onto His knees, as it were. He wants us to experience His strength. But we don't run to Him. We don't cry out to Him. We suffer so much in our life because we think maybe God is not concerned in what I'm going through. It's not big enough. It's not bad enough. We need to stop thinking like that. I just wonder how long the Lord waited patiently for Israel to turn, and here it says 20 years. Also in verses 4 through 7, He's placed us in these days, my friend, but what will others think and say? Watch what happens. Now Deborah. You ought to circle that. Now Deborah. I love this girl. We need Deborahs today. A prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She was a woman of prominence, no doubt a woman of wisdom. She had the Spirit of God upon her, verse 5 says. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So she was a woman of wisdom, Judge Deborah. And she was excellent at it. Now look at verse 6. Then she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh of Naphtali, and said to him, now watch this. She said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops to Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Verse 7. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots, that's those big bad chariots, 900 of them, and his multitude at the river Gishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Look at that close quote. Deborah is reminding Barak, hey, remember what the Lord said? The Lord had told this man of war, this great soldier, didn't God tell you to go to battle and deal with this guy that's troubling Israel for these 20 years? Didn't God speak to you to take up 10,000 men and to go? Guys, isn't it a drag when a woman tells us the right thing and it's the good thing to do and we didn't think about it ourselves? Isn't it a tough thing when a woman says, hey, aren't you supposed to get out there and go to battle with that lawnmower and that tall grass? Aren't you the one that's supposed to take out the trash all the way to the curb? Did not God call you to do that? How often, thank God for godly women. Look, we don't like to admit it, and this is a moment. Lisa, I think, is away tonight, so I can say this. She can't hear this. So often, wisdom just flows out of my wife's face. It's just there. And then, as a man, now, guys, I'm gonna let them in on some inside secrets here of ours. But when the woman says, you know what, you ought to do this, the moment we realize that is really a right on, that's true. That's what I should have thought of that myself. We can't admit to that. That would be surrender. That we think instantly, because we can move on our feet, we think instantly of some stupid, you know, alibi or reason why that thing won't work. Figuring out all the time, we'll massage it enough to bring it around back into the conversation that it's going to look like it was my idea. Because she just had a great idea. God will speak wisdom to the wife so many times. And it's tough for us great spiritual leaders to accept that from them. It's humbling. Deborah says, listen, aren't you supposed to go? God had spoken to Barak. God had spoken to the nation. You now are to go. And God says, I'm giving you the battle, and this is what it's going to look like. I'm going to bring Sisera out, and you're going to know it. What does that mean? God had already prepared the end of that battle. It was already known. Deborah, used by God, begins to challenge in a good way, in a healthy way. Barak, let's go. Get the troops out there. And he being the guy that he is, brings us to our second consideration, verses 8 to 16. And that is, can the Lord use us? Barak, can the Lord use you? Oh, yes. Because the Lord has invested his word in our lives. Watch this. By calling you and I into his kingdom. It says here, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. We want to pause right there in the middle of verse 9. This is an amazing moment. This could go in all kinds of ways. Deborah was not a warrior, she was a prophetess. She had so much wisdom, yes, and she speaks what she speaks, yes. Where is Barak in his mind? We don't know exactly. Was he one that was concerned about what other people thought? We don't know. Was he one that was maybe weak in faith? We don't know. But he was a warrior of Israel. What is he doing, and what is in his heart when he turns to her and says, I'll go to war only if you go to war with me? None of us men are going to go to war unless the lady goes with us. Man. What is going on? I wish I could just almost peer inside his heart. What brings us to that place? Now, could it have been that he just so honored the fact that God was moving in her life and she was a woman of the stature that she was, that he says, you know what, God is with you, you're going with us. We're going to go with God because God is with you. Listen, husband, is the Lord upon your wife? Does your wife have a heart for the Lord? Listen, God didn't establish you guys as a couple for you to be a ruling, reigning tyrant, or for that matter, ma'am, God didn't establish you as a ruling, reigning tyrant over that home either. God put you together as a team to better serve Him. God put you together as a team to better minister. Listen, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Yes, the Bible says that the man is head of the wife and head over the house. Yes, but wait. The Scripture also says that we are both as husband and wife to submit to Christ. It also goes on to say this, that the husband is to love the wife like Christ loved the church. We need to take a big breath and consider what that means. He died for the church. The husband is to die for the wife. Does Jesus serve the church? Let me put it to you this way. Does Jesus serve you? Jesus serves me every moment of every day. And at the very least, he's giving me air to breathe right now. He serves me. That's so humbling that the God of the universe feeds me. He feeds the sparrows, doesn't he? He's so faithful, he causes the tide to ebb and flow as it does on the ocean with the moon and all of the amazing technology of God. He does all these things. He's fantastic. He's the servant God. He's the servant King. That doesn't mean he's less. It means he loves. And love serves. When you think about a woman who's being led by the Lord, that is the most attractive woman, because you know she's led by the Lord, she'll have the joy of the Lord. It's amazing. And then you see a man who's being led by the Lord. Guys, listen up. This is a great bit of help. There's a thing within a woman that if a man is not leading godly-like in her home, in their home, then she, by instinct, it may be Eve's instinct, but it's instinct nonetheless. If a man is not a leader, then the woman will rise up and she'll lead. She'll lead because of default. But when a man rises up to lead in a godly way, that woman is happy and content and joyous to let that man take the reins because she sees that that man is following the lead of the Lord. And when a woman sees a man following the Lord, that is a very, very wonderful thing. So nobody walks into a home and says, I'm the leader of this house. Submit, kids. Submit, woman. Boy, you get yourself hurt doing that. Can you imagine Jesus do that? All right, I'm the head of the church. Submit to me. He doesn't do that. In that upper room, what did he do? He washed their feet. It always takes someone greater to wash the feet. It always takes someone greater to minister. It always takes someone greater to forgive. Remember that. And so, could it be that Barak simply recognizes that the hand of the Lord is on this woman? He's not being a wimp. He's saying, you know what? God is on you and you're going with us. I mean, I don't know. You know, did she have her own chariot? She probably did. If I was Barak, I would have wanted to ride in her chariot. God was with her. God invested his word in our lives. You can't deny that. Do you know at least one Bible verse? Are you a brand new Christian? God wants to use you. He's got the word of God going into your life, changing you. I had a wonderful conversation with someone the other day who started coming to this church in the last few months and going through the Bible and going through the studies on Sunday and going on Wednesdays and getting the Bible in. And this person confessed the other day in business, in work, just right out of, just not even thinking about it, right out of his mouth came Bible, right in the middle of the meeting. Blah, Bible. And it was right for the moment. And oh my goodness. What happens? When you feed upon the Word of God, it comes out. And that's a good thing for the Bible to come out. There's wisdom in that. God invested His Word in us. He's called us into His kingdom. And then secondly, look at verse 9. There in the middle of verse 9, He's embedded His truth in our hearts. Of course, the psalmist writes, David writes, "Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Nevertheless, verse 9 in the middle, "Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you, Barak, in the journey that you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. The girl's going to get the glory here. I just believe that he saw in her the hand of God. And she's simply saying, hey, listen, all your friends and in all the surrounding areas are going to say a girl went to war and a girl got the glory. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing because we have no other leading on what type of person Deborah is. But you can see, don't you see that she's kind of fearless by what she's saying? She's talking to the general. She, listen, I'll go with you. Just know this, you'll get no glory in this battle because a girl is going to lead the way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 3, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Last week here on Real Radio, we presented parts of Pastor Jack's series called Why Jesus? Of course, it was delivered in the context of Passion Week, wherein we commemorate the suffering of Messiah. Well, we're making that series available on both CD and DVD, whichever you prefer. Now that series, Why Jesus, is ideal for your friend or relative or co-worker who may be thinking about receiving and becoming a follower of Jesus, but there may be certain stumbling blocks keeping him from doing so. Well, if you heard last week's editions of Real Radio, you know how well these kinds of issues were dealt with and communicated. So, for your gift to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Why Jesus. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and specify the CD series or the DVD series. Call us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917. Of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.